Bible reading today is Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 12 to 27. It's on page 461 of the church Bibles. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow, the more knowledge, the more grief. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind still guiding me with wisdom, I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Then I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom and also madness and folly. What more can the king's successor do than what has already been done? I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. The wise have eyes in their heads while the fool walks in the darkness. But I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I said to myself, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said to myself, this too is meaningless. For the wise, like the fool, will not be long remembered. The days have already come when both have been forgotten. Like the fool, the wise too must die. So I hated life because the work that it is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave it all, then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see is from the hand of God, for without him who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind.
Good morning, St. Cross Church family. It's good to be here with you guys. It's been a while. Now, today we're continuing our series through the book of Ecclesiastes. And once again, we're going to be confronted with futility and meaninglessness. But before you make a dash for the door, let me pray for wisdom and understanding. Dearest Father, creator of the sun and everything under it, as we come before you today, we ask for wisdom. We ask that by your Spirit, you would give us understanding and help us to see how best to spend our days and reveal to us your Son, Jesus, and the lasting inheritance he promises. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you recall last week, Ian brought us the endless cycles of creation and our vanishing vapor of our days under the sun. You see, when it comes to inspirational material, Ecclesiastes is no Hallmark greeting card. But you know what is inspirational? New Year. Happy New Year, everyone. Happy 2021. We made it, and it's been quite a ride. Give yourselves a pat on the back, but don't pat anyone else on the back. Keep your distance. 2020 was just a few days ago. But no matter who you are, New Year is that super inspirational time to make firm and lasting resolutions. It's our annual addiction to a cycle of bettering ourselves. And if you couldn't tell, I'm somewhat cynical. I'm one of those people, as I said before, I lean into Ecclesiastes rather than recoiling away from it. But I confess, even I get caught up in this resolution rush. As December 31st rolls around, I start thinking, yeah, it's a good time to make good habits, get things in place for the year ahead. And it's a strange time when we kind of just suspend reality and we convince ourselves we can will into existence some motivation that was apparently missing for 364 days of the year. But no matter how big your resolution is, as we open Ecclesiastes today, we find a king with bigger plans. A resolution so big it spans all of life. So whatever your achievement of choice, and whatever you think 2021 may hold, or the rest of your life for that matter, today we have you covered. So let's get into it. As we open our passage, we are once again introduced to this teacher. From chapter 1, verse 12, I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And the fact he says was to me implies Ecclesiastes is an end-of-life kind of work compiled by the author, kind of like a biography. But you will note this biography is missing something, the name of our subject. And now we could get into who exactly this mysterious teacher is. But I believe the writer, for good reason, keeps them anonymous. So as tempting as speculation is, let's not get caught up on his identity. But while the identity of the teacher is not important, his credentials are. If I was to tell you, I'm going to conduct a complete and all-encompassing study of, let's say, football, and before you ask which football, for the sake of the illustration, we're just going to stick with any game that involves a foot and or feet and a ball of some description. But if I were to undertake this study, you would hope I would have the credentials, which clearly I do not, to give some sort of integrity to my study. And in the same way, the teacher, being king over Israel, gave him good credentials to undertake this ambitious study we see from chapter 1, verse 13. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. And you don't need to read much further or wait long to see the findings of this royal commission. The very next verse tells us, I've seen all things done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Now, this meaningless and this chasing after the wind, they're themes we're going to see repeated time and time again through the book of Ecclesiastes. Meaningless alone is repeated 9 times throughout our passage. I confess, as you read, it kind of feels like it's more than 9 times, but it's at least 9. Now, the picture is bleak, especially when you couple it with the futility that we read about from verse 15. What is crooked cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted. It can leave even the most optimistic among us a little deflated. But it's important to stop here and just quickly revisit what meaningless means. This word comes from the Hebrew word hevel, meaning smoke or vapor, something insubstantial. And this is why it's paired with the chasing after the wind. It's the idea that nothing that lasts can be grasped or gained or held onto. Now, from verse 16, our teacher picks himself up, gives himself a bit of a pep talk, and moves on. Have a look. I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also madness and folly. So after a quick affirmation of his credentials, the teacher turns his mind to wisdom, madness, and folly. If you remember from verse 12, it was by wisdom that the teacher would study and explore. See, wisdom is the lens the teacher uses to assess what he sees. And so when the teacher mentions madness and folly, if you're like me, you wonder, well, what do you mean by madness and folly? I came to think of it like this. Wisdom is a discerning what is true. And madness is making up what is true. And folly with disregarding what is true. But again, no sooner as he starts, just in case some optimism crept in, he again reinforces reality, but I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. Now, he doesn't go into madness and folly, except later, the reflection from verse 2, the laughter is madness. And during my time away, I found it very amusing to remind my mum of this, as every person she talked to, every friend or family member, she finished the conversation with, may you have much laughter in the new year. So I had to chuckle to myself, thinking laughter is madness. I wish you all much madness. But the teacher does take a moment. He does stop and reflect on wisdom and knowledge, reminding us from verse 18, with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. And let's be honest, how could it not? In light of the fall in Eden and the brokenness and futility which has followed, to see this broken world as it is hurts. So, as the teacher declares, whether you live by wisdom, embracing discernment, by madness, embracing delusions, or by folly, embracing deceit, it's all meaningless, chasing after the wind. From chapter 2, verse 1, the teacher moves on to a new topic. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. And once again, he concludes, before even starting, but that also proved to be meaningless. But if you wanted proof his study was thorough enough, he does go into detail for the next 10 verses. I need to drop a warning here. This testing of pleasure was for educational purposes only. Do not try this at home. The teacher has undertaken this burden that we need not. It's a buckling. The teacher tested laughter and wine and folly in verse 2. Construction of houses and vineyards and gardens and parks and reservoirs, verse 4 to 6. The tending to and growing of trees and flocks, verse 5 to 8. And many great and terrible acquisitions, outlined in 7 to 9. The delights of a man's heart, I believe is the way he puts it. Now, ladies, despite the immense wisdom of the teacher, please stick with food as the way to a man's heart. A harem will just lead to difficulty. But I'm sure you can relate, whether you would admit to or not. Hopefully not the harem. But what is it for you? What pleasure drives your ambition? What pleasure promises you meaning, fulfillment? Maybe it's a dream of a happy, carefree family with no fights or quarrels, relational bliss, or maybe finding that significant someone. Is it becoming the best at your job or your sport or your hobby? Perhaps building a portfolio of profit with stocks and houses, investments and collectibles. Or maybe you're just like me. You want just endless days on beautiful beaches with a friend or two and a dog or 20. But you see, we live in a time of plenty and a place of abundance. And these pleasures and so many more are constantly close, just within reach. Are you spending your days chasing pleasures? But whatever it is for you, the teacher has done it all. He has seen it all, and he has acquired it all. Power, position, pleasure, wealth. The only thing he seems to have missed is moderation. But have a look at his reflections from verse 10 to 11. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. The result of every pleasure and achievement, everything meaningless. It's just a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained. And with no gain comes no meaning. And even though the teacher does discern that wisdom is better than folly, in verses 13 and 14, just as seeing is better than being in the dark, he concludes the verse, whether wise or a fool, the same fate overtakes them both. From here, the teacher gets in touch with his inner mortality. Continuing from verse 15, then I said to myself, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said to myself, this too is meaningless. For the wise, like the fool, will not long be remembered. The days have already come when both have been forgotten. Like the fool, the wise too must die. See, our teacher has landed in a deep pit of despair. Have a look at the emotional language he uses. From verse 17, I hated life. Verse 18, I hated all the things I had toiled for. And verse 20, so my heart began to despair. You see, the reality of death seemed to hit a nerve. And more so, the reality that everything he had toiled to achieve, everything he had poured his effort and skill into over a lifetime, will go to another. Have a look from verse 19. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. And this too is meaningless. There'll be no means tests, there'll be no measure. The fate of all the teacher had toiled for, and let's face it, he had toiled for quite a lot. The fruit of his lifetime, gone, into God knows who. Now, make no mistake, our teacher is far from Disney Lion King Mufasa, looking over the pride lands with a heart full of joy and delight, declaring to his firstborn, Simba, one day everything the light touches will be yours. No, this man's far from there. He's moments away from living it up on the kid's inheritance. He's on his knees and he's broken and he's despairing. This indiscriminate inheritance, in his words, is a great misfortune. You see, reality had set on our teacher's mind, and all illusions of gain shattered. And the teacher is left with this sobering conclusion to what is good to do under the sun. From verse 24. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? When all is said and done, The best you can do is enjoy the good gifts God has given us. The small and daily things. Our work, rest and play. Whatever you find yourself doing, all we can do as finite, temporary beings is to acknowledge it is from God and enjoy it. I know for me, as life has dealt crushing blow after crushing blow, and what little expectation I may have had has been shattered, I've learnt to really enjoy the moment, to enjoy the people and the places that God has given me, to enjoy you guys, to enjoy the current circumstance or opportunity, and to celebrate the small successes rather than waiting for reality to completely align with my desires. You see, don't be blinded by ambition. As far as we are concerned, God is most tangibly at work right now. This moment is all we have. So embrace the opportunity of now. Some call it mindfulness. I call it reality. And I'm not saying everything in the moment is enjoyable. It's far from it. But it is an opportunity to take or to waste. And for every opportunity, even the hard ones, we can thank God and see his hand at work, knowing it is for the ultimate good, even if the details remain unknown to us. So where do you find satisfaction in life? Where do you stop and enjoy what God is doing now? Are you the type that finds yourself caught up on what's been? Or maybe you spend your days planning on what you want tomorrow to be? Either way, stuck counting the past or controlling the future, it's so easy to overlook the places, and more importantly, the people, that God has given you now. For as much as you are able, enjoy and give thanks to God. But as we return to our passage, regardless of your outlook or obsession, Ecclesiastes won't let us forget, from verse 26, this too is meaningless. Though enjoying life is the best we can do, in the grand scheme of things, the unrelenting march of time will render all our hands can do as meaningless. So that's it, for now at least. That's all the teacher has to say on the matter. As far as functioning well under the sun, it's good advice. Find satisfaction in our toil, enjoy the little things, and all the while give thanks to God, the one from whose hand it comes. Yet, as we read when we started, Psalm 49, we hear another king, possibly the same one, speak these familiar words. Have a listen. For all can see that the wise die, that the foolish and the senseless also perish, leaving their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations. Though they had named lands after themselves, people, despite their wealth, do not endure. They are like the beasts that perish. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. They are like sheep and are destined to die. Death will be their shepherd, but the upright will prevail over in them in the morning. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions. But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. Surely he will take me to himself. You see, while the first four verses of this psalm sound very familiar, verse 15 brings a new element. It brings hope. Hope that we will be redeemed from the grave, and hope that we'll be taken to be with God. And I want to tell you today that this hope is not in vain. Indeed, there is another gift from God, a Saviour who came under the sun to end the futility, to end the meaningless toil, to pay for our perverted pleasures, and defeat sin and death, and as the psalmist said, someone to take us to be with God. Unlike our teacher from Ecclesiastes, this man does have a name, and he is Jesus Christ. And he came that those who trust in him would inherit eternal life. to know and enjoy God forever. And as we've seen, you can toil for a lifetime and achieve nothing. Though enjoyment is gifted in the moment, all will pass and fade, ultimately meaningless. Yet, in God's wisdom, the one thing which has meaning, the one work that does last, this we freely inherit if we trust in Jesus. Far from a great misfortune, this indiscriminate grace, this free favor is the greatest fortune, and it's a fortune which lasts. Have a listen to 1 Peter, verse 3 to 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Let that sink in for a moment. In light of everything we've read in Ecclesiastes, an inheritance that will never spoil, perish, or fade. Friends, for those who trust in Jesus, this hope is secure and lasting. Today, we're seeing the teacher of Ecclesiastes give us true and trustworthy words. Under the sun, the best we can do is simply enjoy our toil, enjoy life as we live it, and acknowledge this is a good gift from God. But as we're reminded, no matter how enjoyable or precious, the fate of all living things will overtake us all, and nothing will last. All will be rendered meaningless. Yet, as the psalmist said, we have a hope. The author of creation has also given us true and trustworthy words. Trust in me, and I will redeem you from the grave and bring you to God, an inheritance that will never spoil, perish, or fade. These are true and trustworthy words. I pray we all put them into practice. Please pray with me. Dearest Father, thank you for every good gift. Thank you for satisfaction and enjoyment. Help us to be satisfied and content with what you give, overflowing in thankfulness. And thank you for Jesus, that in him we have an inheritance that will not spoil, perish, or fade. We have hope. Please give us all wisdom and open our eyes to the hope we have in Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.